Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I'm Gina, the host of this podcast. And today we're talking about being afraid of what you'll see in a past life if you were to intentionally experience a past life. Along with that, I'm covering a couple other questions that are commonly asked, kind of in the same vein, really beginner questions. And as someone who has been talking for hundreds of hours on this podcast about past life regression, hypnosis, spirit guides, astral travel, all of the things that we're doing in that space of hypnotic trance, I think it's so good to circle back every once in a while and really ground down into those kind of beginner questions. And if you're anything like me, whenever I've been doing something for a while, so if you've been a longtime listener, it's kind of good to touch in and just kind of re-examine maybe where we are now in relationship to these topics as opposed to where we were when we first started. And then, of course, if you're first starting out and this is a question that you have, welcome. It's a question many people have. I have not only gotten this question, I feel like it kind of goes in waves. And just in the past few weeks, few months, it's a question that I've gotten, whether it's like in a podcast interview or if it's just showing up in my inbox. So really want to cover that. If you are feeling completely afraid of exploring your own past lives based on what you think you may or may not see, may or may not experience. And then also too, even if that fear isn't totally stopping you, even if you just have that fear a little bit every time you do a hypnotic journey, it'll be good just to hear this answer and just good reminders and the power that we have as humans here on Earth. And then I'll also be discussing just a little bit about some theories about like, what are we actually experiencing? What's going on here when we're experiencing a past life regression? Like, and in that, it's like, do you need to believe in past lives in order to do a past life regression? All of those kind of things. So I'll touch on a little bit of that as well. And the last question that I'll explore will be a question that I've gotten from actually a few hypnotic arts students and a couple people in my kinship membership group. And that's the question of, do you ever have a client who comes in, has an experience, and is like upset with the experience on any level? Like if it didn't go their way, or maybe they got some guidance in a session and then, you know, life happened afterwards and they circled back, like maybe not being happy with their session. So I'm going to dig into that too, because I don't know, I think that's an interesting question. And to me, when someone asks me that question, it's a good reminder that not everybody shows up to the space maybe with the same input, or not necessarily input, but with the same perspective as anyone else. And when someone asks me that question, it is an opportunity for me just to share my perspective with what goes on in these sessions and what really is my responsibility within, you know, the insight, the wisdom, the transitions, the transformations that can happen within these sessions. So good conversation. I'm excited to have it. And before we get into that, I just want to say I have recently been putting in a few workshops into my hypnosis shop. So if you're like, what's your hypnosis shop? Or even if you're interested in the workshops or the hypnotic tracks that have been in there a while, you can go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, click on shop. I have an intuition workshop. So if you're someone who has been wanting to connect to your intuition, this is something that would be a good match for you. So in that workshop, I talk a little bit about just like what I believe intuition is, a little bit about my journey with intuition. And really, I'm teaching from a space of course, I'm not saying I know everything about intuition. That's absolutely not true. And I would be highly suspect of anyone who says that. But I'm teaching from the space of intentionally working with my own intuition and building that for the better part of a decade. And then also just the hundreds of clients that I've worked with and just all the different ways intuition can come in, all the different guidance I've been witness to, clients understanding their own intuition, their own power. So that's really what I'm teaching from in that space, is my experience and what I've witnessed with my clients. So if you're someone who is feeling blocked, disconnected, or you maybe you feel like you've never been connected to your intuition, download it, purchase and download that workshop, and you'll get a little bit of a masterclass or me talking about everything I know about intuition, and then why hypnosis is such a good fit for those people who are trying to connect to, reconnect to, deepen that connection with our intuition. And of course, as a part of that workshop, it's not only the lecture or the masterclass portion of it, but we also do a hypnotic journey. And that hypnotic journey is designed for you to either do it once. You can do it once a week, you can do it once a day, you could do it just any time you feel blocked or disconnected in the future, which will happen. Life is a spiral, not necessarily a straight line of progression. So it's a really good space to begin if you're just beginning with your intuition, and it's a really good tool to use if you feel like your intuition is changing and you feel disconnected, or the way your intuition used to come in isn't coming in that way. We can definitely be pushed to expand and observe the other ways we're connected through our intuition. So it's a great space for you to be there, try to understand your intuition, understand what that feels like, sounds like, what that sensation is for you, and then be able to understand like how the best way forward for you in terms of staying connected, deepening that connection, anything that you can gain, that wisdom from our highest self in that hypnotic trance portion of the workshop. So the workshop includes a masterclass, a hypnotic journey, and that hypnotic journey will produce within you not only the hypnotic suggestions to stay connected and notice your connection to your intuition, even if it does grow and change, but it's also a nice kind of touch point to come back to if you're ever feeling disconnected or kind of out of it or totally blocked. That's just a nice tool for you to have. So you can go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, click on shop, and you can grab that intuition workshop as well. Real quick before we dive in, as I was editing this episode, I noticed you can hear a lot of construction noise. And I'm so sorry if that bothers you, but I do not have the time to re-record all of this information. And my neighbor is having some landscaping done. So if that bothers you, if that's something you cannot get over, then this is not the episode for you. I think it's pretty unintrusive overall. It's not like it's super loud noises, but every once in a while you can hear scraping or beeping, and I do not have the time to re-record it. So it's either a little bit of construction noise or no podcast episode this week. And I think we can all get over that construction noise. And I don't know, maybe you could just be thankful that you don't have tractors beeping and scraping in your neighbor's yard. I know I'll be happy when it's over. So thanks for your patience and your forgiveness. Okay, gather around the fire for our conversation. If you're afraid of what you might encounter in a past life, let's get into it. So, a question I've received a few times lately, and then I just recently did a podcast interview, and it was people from that podcast audience asking questions. And this question came up again of, I'm afraid of what I'll see in a past life. Or people will often say, I feel drawn to explore my past lives, but have been told by others that it's something that I shouldn't do, or something that I should be afraid of, or something that I should go into it with a lot of like hesitation or fear or trepidation. And here is what I'll tell you. So I'm, of course, speaking again as a reminder from my own experience, the way I conduct a session and the way I train people to conduct sessions. So I truly believe that when we go into a hypnotic journey, when we use an altered state of consciousness to have a certain experience, I think it's really, really important to set an intention. Whether you're doing psychedelics, whether you're doing breath work, whether you're doing like rhythmic dancing or listening to drums, or whether you're using hypnosis to move into that altered state to get information, intention is key. It is so clear to me after hundreds of client sessions and many, many sessions of my own where I'm the client, that the intention is paramount. It is the thing that we do. It's the thing that the session revolves around. So my intention for my sessions includes my client's intention. And that's what you've heard me talk about a lot before. And that's where we decide what kind of experience we're searching for. And so an intention statement from a client might be something as general as like, I want to experience a past life that will help me for my highest and greatest good today. Or I want to experience a past life that will help me embody more confidence, my internal power. I want to experience a past life that will help me understand this reaction I have to this certain situation. Or I want to experience a past life so I can understand what it is to live a fulfilling life, to feel more purposeful in life. That is going to dictate what kind of experience we have. In addition to the client's intention, I have my own intentions around the types of sessions that I conduct. So for me, there's not only the intentions and where we want to go and like what we can hope for in this session, but there's also the boundaries of this session. So I believe that I am great at my job, but I really do believe it's a co-creation with the client. And my role in that is creating the environment that allows the client to deeply relax and just simply observe what comes to mind and be completely in that experience. So with that, I have my own boundaries. So when I created this business, when I created the services that I offer, it was a big part of my intention, and it still is as a facilitator, that when you schedule a session with me, immediately your spirit guides and my spirit guides are thinking, brainstorming, and planning what kind of session do you need that will help you for your highest and greatest good. Highest and greatest good in general, highest and greatest good within the realm of the intention you set. And what's interesting is like oftentimes the intention we set really is what is for our highest and greatest good, because deep down we have all our own answers. So in this session that the client and I are co-creating, the boundaries that I put up are everything for the highest and greatest good of everybody in this session, the client and me as the facilitator. Because if I'm thriving and doing a great job, that's going to positively benefit my client. That's the way it works in my realm. That might be different in your brain, in your mind, and how you work, but that's the energetics of what's going on with me. So knowing that, another part of that boundary is that if there is a malevolent energy, a menacing or confusing or not something for our highest and greatest good, those things are not allowed in the session, with the exception that they are only allowed to show their presence if releasing that energy or detaching from that energy or helping that energy transition to the other side, transition along their journey away from that client. That's the only way a malevolent energy can show up in my session, is if it's by design for the client's highest and greatest good. So right there, that is the energetics of my session. That's how I teach students. That's how I believe it goes. What we believe as a facilitator showing up to these sessions really does make a difference. Another thing that I believe and has been proven to me over and over is that when we are working in hypnosis, we're working in that subconscious mind. So as you've probably heard me say many times before, within our subconscious mind holds every memory of everything that's ever happened to us. So if you're an odd little bird like me and you believe in other lives, past lives, multiple timelines, however you believe that, in our subconscious mind would also hold all of those memories of all of those experiences in all of those other lives and the space between lives, wherever it is we go, you know, to regroup and replan the next one. It's in that hypnotic trance that our conscious mind is encouraged and hypnotically suggested to move to the side to not be in the driver's seat, to not have the volume of that voice on the highest level. And instead, it moves to the side. It's totally aware, but it's in the subconscious mind and the unconscious memories that we are able to have more access to. And with that comes the protection offered by our subconscious mind. So it's the example that you've probably heard many times before, but if there was a hot burner, you put your hand on that burner, your hand is off that burner before your conscious mind can even be like, hey, that's hot, take your hand off. And it is the assumption that that is the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind, it's automatic, it's our built-in programming. These things are happening without our control. So that's why in hypnosis, when we make changes, we can often forget about the changes that we made or the things that used to really, really bother us once we heal them through hypnosis, because we're working in that subconscious mind. And that subconscious mind is automatic. It happens effortlessly. So that's the benefit of working within hypnosis, as opposed to just doing it when you're awake, totally in your conscious mind, and, you know, trying to grip to a certain practice or a way of being. And instead, we're working in that subconscious mind. So in terms of using hypnosis to experience a past life, we're experiencing memories from within our subconscious mind. And as a facilitator, I am trained to, and I train other facilitators to, really be aware of the client's body language, their breathing patterns, you know, maybe like the expression on their face, the words they're saying. And if they're having a difficult time, if it seems like, you know, a really emotional experience that the client is having or a traumatic experience, emotion is okay. Emotion is more than okay. Emotion is the point. A lot of times in these hypnotic experiences, we will feel overcome with emotion. And sometimes the emotion is very elevating, comfortable, very pleasant. And sometimes those emotions feel kind of heavy. It might be grief. It might be anger. It might be something else that's not like the sunniest, happiest emotion. And it's all valid and it's all okay. But because we're humans and because we experience pain, as a facilitator, I'm trained to understand and see when a client is in an uncomfortable space, remind them that they're safe, and help them to know we can either stay here in this scene, having this experience, feeling it completely, being in it, or we can move. We can pull out and watch it like a movie on a movie screen, if that helps to elevate or kind of decompress or alleviate some huge, huge emotions. Or we can completely move to a different space, a space of spiritual guidance, and just come back to this memory, touch in with it here or there, and analyze it from a different space. And of course, a client always has the option to not encounter something. I had a client once who saw this kind of darker energy in a past life regression. And that darker energy was something that triggered a lot of fear in this client. But the darker energy was attached to someone else, not them in that past life. And even if it was attached to them in that past life, I still give them the option. I could see that it was making her very uncomfortable. In previous conversations, I knew that entities were something that evoked a lot of fear in this person. And so I just let them know, like, hey, we can, do you want to work on that? Do you want to move closer to that energy and try to understand it, maybe release it, see if it's yours, see if there's something we can do about it? And they decided, no, I don't want to do that. They came back for another session and saw this energy again and had the courage to encounter it, to face it, and to discover, what is this and what does it mean for me and can I release it and what else can I know about it to help, you know, alleviate the fear around it. Fear in a situation like that might evoke, kind of tells me that there's something there that we should address and look into. We absolutely don't have to, but a lot of times, you know, people are kind of freaky like me when they come to a past life regression. They know it might not be all sunshine and roses and a bowl of cherries, but like, it's worth it. Even if it is uncomfortable at times, these are emotions that if they're trapped within us from a past life, it's something we carry today. So why not be in that experience, feel that emotion in a session with a facilitator who can hold that space for you, a facilitator who makes you feel more relaxed, someone you trust, someone you're comfortable around. So long story short is if the client is clearly uncomfortable on some level, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it needs to be shut down. But that's when I look to the client and give them options. We can stay here. We can pull out and watch it at a distance. We can examine this from a completely different space, or we can leave it alone entirely. It's really important that this work is led by the client. I'm never forcing anyone to experience something that is difficult for them to experience. I believe that we can see a traumatic past life, have the fear come up, have the anger come up, have the sadness come up, and sometimes it just needs to be expressed, and it leaves us, and we're lighter afterward. That's my experience with it, but I'm never going to force someone to do that. So as a facilitator, I'm trained to know when a client is having a difficult time, whether it's fear or some other heavy emotion, and to help them move through it and to give them the option to not work on it if they want. And while I am trained in that space, this stuff happens automatically. I do say those things to my clients at those times. But if I say we can pull out and watch it like a movie on a movie screen, oftentimes a client is like, oh, I already am. Or no, I don't need to. And that is because your subconscious mind, the client's subconscious mind, is designed to keep them safe. And the same is true when experiencing memories in a past life. So another example is of this happening completely spontaneously. I was working with a client, this was, I think, a couple years ago, and this client was moving through their past scenes, answering the questions that I was asking them about this past life experience, and the way they were communicating the information to me, it was my assumption that they were very visual, like a lot of visuals within their past life memories and just the details they would give me when I would ask them a question. I was assuming they were very visual, and they actually confirmed it afterwards when we chatted about it. Then when we got to the death scene in this particular client's past life, it was all black. And it was just, you know, what are you aware of? And all black. And it took a while for the client to kind of reacclimate. And that's common when someone is incredibly visual, whether it's like in the actual session and then the visuals leave, or maybe they're incredibly visual just in their intuition, in their daily life, and then they come to a hypnosis session and it's like no visuals. I don't see that as a failure. To me, it's just really understanding that intuition comes in many different ways. And intuition to me is the phone line between us and the world we can see and the unseen realms, energies, things that affect us in our daily life on this third dimensional plane. So to me, if you're visual and then all of a sudden you're not getting visuals, it's not that it's not working or you're doing it wrong or you're getting nothing. It's that if we know what intuition is and all the different ways it can come in, if you Google the clairs or if you do my intuition workshop, we talk about it in there, all the different ways intuition can come in. When the visuals leave and it is that space of the black, that's our cue to tune into what are you knowing? What are you feeling emotionally, sensations in your body? When I ask a question, what's something that comes to your mind? If I say, are you inside or outside? Are you aware of whether you're inside or outside? Or is it sometimes it's just the word inside seems to really kind of stick in your mind? These are all different ways that we can use, access, and practice our intuition. So going back to this really long story of this client who is incredibly visual, we get to the final scene, the death scene, and it's all black. No problem. I know about intuition. Let me guide you. What are you feeling? What do you know? Are you alone? Is a question that I believe I asked this client. And they said, it's all black. And it's like, well, you know, even if we close our eyes, we can feel when we're alone. We can feel when someone else is there. How does it feel to you? And this client said, I don't remember exactly how the conversation went down, but essentially they let me know it's all black and I'm just getting this information. And the information is I'm surrounded by a group of people who are beating me. And gruesome, awful to live through once, horrible to carry that memory, maybe, if it affects you still to this day. But at the end of it, moving through the time the soul left that body and reflecting on that past life, it was very clear that what this client needed, the information needed from this final scene, that client got. But they did not need to be in that that traumatizing situation in order to get that information. And their subconscious mind did it automatically. And that's why when I'm teaching in hypnotic arts, and one of the things we really talk about is like tricky scenarios that can come up. Like as a facilitator, I've met many people who have done hypnosis trainings and they don't do hypnosis anymore because they were afraid of like these tricky situations. And so when a client is, quote, stuck in the black, I think it's really just a part of the process, a part of the way their intuition is coming in, and it's not a failure. So just to know that our subconscious mind, which is exactly where we're working with in hypnosis, is designed to keep us safe, you know, that hand on the burner. It's our subconscious mind that without any conscious thinking pulls our hand away faster than our conscious mind can even kind of figure out what's going on. So there is the huge overarching reason not to be afraid, at least with my recordings and in my sessions. And in the people that I teach in the hypnotic arts training, it's really something that Sarah Leverett and I promote in that is like trusting your own intuition, understanding intuition so you can understand your client's intuition, and knowing that we're working in that subconscious space. So we have the skills as facilitators to navigate this, to kind of read the client, for lack of a better term, and the experience they're having, and just continually checking in with them and giving them the opportunity. Do you want to work with this or do you not? Do you want to take some distance or do you want to stay here? And to know that oftentimes, even though I'm cueing that, even though I'm asking those questions, the client's subconscious mind has already adjusted in a way where they can get the information, maybe even experience some heavy emotions that need to be moved, need to be expressed, but to keep them safe, meaning they don't come out of the session feeling like they just, you know, actually lived through this traumatizing scene. My intentions around past life regression is that that is what we're doing. We are experiencing these past life scenes so we can feel better in our daily life. Yes, I do believe it can be incredibly entertaining to have the experiences, to go on these journeys, and to hear about other people's journeys. And the way I structure my sessions is healing and whatever it is, as we learn and grow for our highest and greatest good, to really embody that. That is what my session's about, for the highest and greatest good of the client. And that's the intention that I hold when I'm holding space for each client. And that's the intention that I hold for every podcast episode, for every hypnotic journey, whether it's on a podcast episode, if it's a hypnotic track in the shop or within a workshop in the shop. Those are my intentions. So do you need to be afraid? What if you're still afraid because you're like, well, I'm not working with a facilitator. I'm doing this at home. So what I want you to know is that anytime we do something as a human with a human body and a human brain, anytime we do something, the more we do it, the easier it gets and the less effort or mind control needed. And this is called neuroplasticity. It's our brain and our body's ability to build new nerve pathways or strengthen already established nerve pathways for ways of moving, speaking, thinking, all the things. And the same is true when you encounter an altered state of consciousness. the more you navigate in that space of altered consciousness, the easier it gets. And in the realm of this conversation, in the realm of exploring past lives using hypnosis, the more you move into that hypnotic trance state, the more comfortable you feel in that altered state of consciousness. And the more comfortable you feel in that state, the more information you're going to get, the more, you know, rich experiences, the more details and information and insights and wisdom and healing that you're going to get from these sessions. So if hearing all of this and you're still like, I'm a little afraid to do it on my own, here's what I'll tell you. Start with a simple hypnotic track. So the way I think of it is like I label my hypnotic tracks. Those are hypnosis tracks that you can listen to in a get in a relaxed position, close your eyes, completely focus on that audio recording and just hear the words, follow the journey, allow the hypnotic suggestions to be planted in your brain, and then come back. And that's it. And those are the hypnotic tracks. So I have hypnotic tracks in my shop at pastlivesinthedivine.com. And you could listen to that once a day. You could listen to that once a month. You can do it just kind of on an as-needed basis. So there's some like living your purpose or releasing your fear. And all of those things we can do when we're feeling like stuck or that we don't have purpose. Or maybe we have a question about, well, I got two opportunities and I feel like if I knew what my purpose was, it'd be easier to make this decision. Or for example, with the releasing fear one, you could just, if you encounter or discover a fear that continually comes up, whether it looks the same every time or it's kind of the same at the core, but a different camouflage when it comes up, you can take a fear that you're experiencing or working with and just have it in mind as you listen to that hypnotic track, allow it to let go and release. So that's a good way to start because you're navigating and you're spending time in that altered state of consciousness, which is hypnotic trance. And from that space, you can just become more comfortable in that and gain a little bit more confidence and less fear about being in that hypnotic trance. Because even though right now the conversation is about what if we're afraid of what we'll see in a past life regression or what we'll experience in a past life regression, I think really a part of that question are fears that we've all been programmed by the overculture to have about hypnosis. And just this idea of like, am I going to be out of control? Am I going to be able to come back? All, you know, all of these things. And so just to know that you'll feel more safe and it's really just you relaxing and it feels a lot like a guided meditation. But it is practice in that altered state of consciousness. So do those at first. Like I said, there's many hypnotic tracks in my hypnosis shop at pastlivesandthedivine.com. And then just to call out a few podcast episodes with hypnotic trances in them. If we go way back, we have episode 10, which is guided hypnosis for less holiday stress. But you know, it's holiday, kind of gimmicky, but you could go in with the intention of just less stress. And if whether holidays cause stress for you or not, you could do like the audio journey with less work stress or less home life stress or less relationship stress. So we can always use our intention to adjust these tracks in a way that might feel good to you. And there's episode 35, a hypnotic journey to call in the good stuff. So it's really about focusing on good things that are in your life that you want more of or good things that you want to add into your life. So that's episode 35, an at-home hypnotic journey that wouldn't be scary to do, focusing on all the good stuff. There is all the tarot and hypnosis episodes. So there's a handful of them. They start, I believe, around like episode 36, and then every handful of episodes, I have a few of them. It's not like the whole tarot deck or anything, but we have a tarot and hypnosis episode, for example. Episode 36 is focusing on the essence of the Wheel of Fortune in tarot, and it is a hypnosis journey, a hypnotic track where you can just kick back, relax, learn a little bit about the essence of that card, and then listen to a hypnotic journey that will help you embrace more of that essence of that card. And those are all the tarot and hypnosis episodes. And we have the Hierophant, we have the Chariot, we have the Fool. There's a handful of them. So go and check it out. It starts at episode 36, there's episode 42, episode 48, and there's even more of those. Another way you could dip your toe in that water are the Channel and Write episodes. So these are hypnotic journeys that are designed for you to sit in a chair and have a pen and paper in hand, close your eyes, listen to the hypnotic journey. When I ask a question, you allow the answer to come to mind, pop open your eyes, write down the answer, close your eyes, wait for the next one. And those are all the Channel and Write episodes. And for example, I believe that starts at episode 52. There's different themes. For example, episode 52 is about a hypnotic journey and writing session to explore what awakening is for you and what is awakening and rising within you. So there's a bunch of other ones, but again, that starts at episode 42. There's also one about, episode 52. There's also one about discovering more about your soul group. That's episode 59. There's also one about why you chose your parents. There's one about why you chose your kids. That's episode 65 for choosing your parents. Episode 71, why you chose your kids or why your kids chose you. And those are all Channel and Write. You sit up, listen to the hypnotic journey, pop open your eyes, write down the answer. So those are all really episodes that you can listen to. It is not an exhaustive list at all, but out of, what are we at, episode 153 right now, we have in our rearview mirror of all of these episodes so many hypnotic journeys that you can go on that won't be maybe as intense as a past life journey. But my advice to anyone who wanted my advice is, if after hearing all of this, you're still a little worried, still don't want to examine your past lives on your own or with someone yet, or either one or whatever, just to know that there's so many episodes within Past Lives and the Divine that include journeys where you can get into that hypnotic trance space, that altered state of consciousness, and just be there. Spend time there, navigate that space, see how your intuition comes in. It's a really, really great space to do that, and there are so many options, free options in the episode list of Past Lives and the Divine. And if you go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, click on shop, there's also some items in there that you can use to help just get more comfortable in that space. And someday when you're ready to do it on your own, if you go to pastlivesandthedivine.com and you want to do an at-home past life journey on your own, I encourage you, go to pastlivesandthedivine.com. There'll be a pop-up for an at-home past life journey. Enter your email into that, and then you will get an email containing the audio files and everything you need, how to set up your space, things to keep in mind. There's a PDF kind of guidebook that goes with it. And then that way you can set up time on your own to do a past life regression. Or you can do a past life regression with a hypnotist or someone who facilitates those sessions, who you feel comfortable with, who you can trust completely. So that is what you can do if you're still feeling a little hesitant to do it on your own, to do it with someone else, to do hypnosis in general. Those are plenty of options for you. So there are many theories as to what we're actually accessing in a past life. So some people say it is our past life. So you go into your subconscious mind, you access these memories, you have the experience, you integrate the learnings, the insight, the wisdom, the healing into your life today. And then there are some people who say, well, we move into that hypnotic trance space, that altered state of consciousness, and the awareness that is the soul that's in this human body can access this thing that's sometimes called Christ consciousness, collective consciousness. Sometimes it's called the collective unconscious. Sometimes it's called the universal universal wisdom or knowledge. Some people call it the Akashic Records, but it's this idea that when we move into this hypnotic trance space and we're so connected clearly to our intuition, to our soul's knowing, we can actually tap into the universal experience of life. And so kind of like checking out a book from a library, this idea would mean that you come to a past life regression, you set your intention, your spirit guides, my spirit guides are going, what's a good life for this person to experience? And it might be your past life, it might be someone else's past life. And if that's something you believe in, if it's something that feels right to you, this is also a description or an explanation I give when someone says, it seems like everyone's famous in a past life, or how can, you know, eight people be this king or this queen in a past life. And I think that's how. I think it's kind of like accessing that universal awareness, that universal life experience, you know, the Akashic Records, the Hall of Knowledge, the soul knowing, the collective unconscious, however you want to say it. It's like asking for an experience. Our spirit guides give us it. It might be ours, it might not be ours. Another thing with that is that we are all one. We are all one, a part of the same energy. We are all a part of the universe expressing and experiencing itself. And in that space, it's kind of the same thing. It might not be my soul's past life, but it really is if we are all one. And it's kind of back to that idea of this collective universal consciousness, universal life experience that we all have access to. You know, all the knowledge that ever was, is, or will be is something we have access to in that space. And so that would include pulling out specific past lives, whether it was something that we believe we lived or just life in general that we can learn from. And another theory about what it is that we're doing when we are experiencing past life scenes is this idea of, yes, we're accessing maybe a different life of our souls. Maybe we're kind of pulling from that divine, that universal life experience. Maybe we're pulling from that collective consciousness or collective unconsciousness and pulling it into our lives. But it's really, there's another idea of like, yes, that. And it's all happening all at once. So it's not really a past life. It's a life that's happening right now, just in a different time, on a different timeline, in a different wavelength, however you want to put it. So I think it's less important about like grabbing on to what is happening here, just because how would we ever know? And I think it's about like holding loosely beliefs that we are willing to hold loosely and let go if we need to, hold loosely and comfortably carry if it makes our life feel more enjoyable, if it makes our load feel lighter. I think that it's all up to us. So it's less about finding the capital T truth, which I don't know if any of us have until we're dead and on the other side, and more about knowing that there are so many theories of what is actually going on in these unseen realms and in this, you know, even something that looks like time travel at times. And we don't know. And it's about finding a belief system that works for us where we're at today. I do believe life on Earth can be so fucking painful that it's like we got to find a purpose. We have to find a reason oftentimes as a human, and we put a lot of weight on that. And I think our life feels lighter if we can like loosely hold these ideas and trade them for better ones when something else comes along, whether it's a shift in us or a new idea that we're presented that feels really right to us. So regardless of what's happening or how these sessions are unfolding, to know that they are divinely guided. At least that's the intention I set, whether you're working with me or not. I think you should set that intention. This is divinely guided. I am working with my highest self and my spirit guides and the facilitator's highest self and spirit guides to co-create a session that's going to benefit the client in the best way for their highest and greatest good. And to be with that and to know that. And if you still have a lot of fear, practice in that space. There's a reason. I believe if we're drawn to something, even if there's fear involved, I do think that that is an indicator of something. for me personally, like I love to do entity removal stuff, as you've been hearing in different podcast episodes recently. I love to do entity removal stuff. I love to do that. I love to engage with that. I love to hear, say, an Earthbound story and help them transition through the light to continue on their soul's journey. I love doing that stuff. And even, you know, 5 or more years ago, it was my biggest fear. It was something that I would have nightmares about if I was at home alone. It was something that I thought about regularly. And it was something that actually would at times like kick up anxiety in me. And I had so much fear around entities, kind of these unseen malevolent energies and what they could do to us. And I see now in the past that like I had such a fear, but there was still so much interest there. And I was able to try to understand that fear. I didn't try to push it out of the way with brute force. I mean, actually, I probably did at times and it didn't work. But it was like the more I discovered about what was evoking that fear, and the more I was able to understand these unseen realms and the power I hold in these unseen realms as a human and as a spirit, that to me helped to alleviate that fear. And now it's just something that I'm interested in, something that helps me feel fulfilled, something that I can look forward to, something that I spontaneously think about and get creative ideas about. And that feels so much better than carrying around that fear. Okay, if hearing my long explanation on that and being afraid of what you'll experience in a past life, if hearing that evokes even more questions in you, I would love to hear those questions. And there is no question that is too beginner. I want you to know that. I really want this podcast to be for people who have been exploring this topic and still find it interesting, and people who are just beginning. So if you hear this and it just creates more questions, I would love to hear what those questions are. And you can go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, click on podcast, and then click on ask a question, and you could submit a question that way. Okay, so the final question that I'm answering has to do with this idea of, do you ever get a client who's dissatisfied with the session? This is such an interesting question, and my answer to this question is so focused on me because that's the only way I can get through it. When I first started doing this work, doing hypnosis, helping people with these sessions, it was something that I immediately started working on, was really this healthy detachment between what happens in the session and what I'm taking responsibility for. That was the only way, the biggest way, the strongest way through feeling fear about leading these sessions. So I will say that, like, I did work on that healthy detachment, and I do think that's important, and it's something that comes up in the hypnotic arts training for sure. I think it's a part of this job, and when we're doing this deep, deep work, we can become very invested in our clients, in the outcome of the session. But for me, that was a route to a lot of fear, a lot of stress, and a lot of dread, like dreading the session. And that's not the fucking vibe I want in my life in general, and especially when I'm working with other people, and even more especially when I'm working with other people in this divinely guided, energetically aware, energetically sensitive space. I want to come to that space like in my power, with a sense of lightness and curiosity. So that was something that I figured out right away and knew was something I had to work on. So right along when I was practicing these sessions and practicing how to do these sessions and learning about that, I was also in my own way learning how to detach from the quote success or the satisfaction of a session. And like, how much of that am I willing to carry, and how much of it is mine to carry? So sorry about these construction noises in the time that I started recording this podcast. Of course, I don't know what my neighbors got going on, but there has been like this frenzy of construction that has started just in their yard. So apologies for any loud noises that are kind of like showing up in the background. I'm almost done with this episode and I just don't want to have to redo it. So apologies for any noises you might be hearing. And we can just hope that my neighbor's landscaping or whatever they're doing in their yard is, I don't know, going to be beautiful, but we have to hear it for now, as this has just started spontaneously as I'm creating this recording. So my apologies. I just want to pop in here and say that. Back to my healthy detachment and how I decide what's mine to carry and what is not. I want you to know that I had that foresight and I had the knowing that that was something that I had to grapple with, because I had spent the previous 15, almost 20 years in the wellness industry. And I know that this probably isn't a popular opinion, and I have no problem with people working in the wellness industry. I mean, I don't think I'm really connected to people working in the wellness industry who are doing it in a way that's deceitful. But the whole system, even though there's great people working in that field, the whole fitness wellness system is designed, whether it was intentional or not, for us to fail. It just was. And so I had come off over a decade of working with thousands of people on their wellness or their fitness journey. And because of the nature of that beast, most of them failed. Now, I would like to say that I could see that clearly and would consistently adjust my programming, adjust my coaching, adjusted the way I worked with people to try to get that to not be the case. But it's just true. It's a field where we are designed to fail and keep spending money, and to fail in a way where it looks like it's either our fault and we can fix it, or it looks like it's someone else's fault and we're just going to try this new thing that's going to work for us. So I had much, much, much experience working with people who would eventually fail. And so I knew from right away, like even in my mid-20s, it was like one of the reasons why I started to feel anxiety and feel a lot of dread. I mean, I see this all in hindsight, but it was really just like I was attaching my worth as a person, as an entrepreneur, as a coach on what someone else did with their life. And it doesn't matter how much I'm being paid to spend 1 or 2 hours a week with me and then put the entire success of your life on my shoulders is like terrible math, number one, and like really giving your power away from someone. And as someone who took that on as the coach, as the facilitator, it doesn't work. Like, it didn't work for my mental health. It didn't work for my anxiety and depression. And so I had years and thousands of people that I worked with trying to get this level of healthy detachment. And by the time I had left my wellness career and kind of closed my consulting and coaching business, I knew that that was a part of me. And I knew that I did not want to bring that bullshit into my hypnosis business. So immediately when I started working in hypnosis, it was like that was one of the things that I was trying to, like, this healthy detachment from, you know, what is my responsibility, and then health in a healthy way, in an easy way, like just let the rest go, like legitimately let it go. Don't just say, yeah, I'm going to let it go and then still carry it and still feel like shit about it. So I would actually, I used a few of my practice past life regressions. So the training that I did to get my certification was a week-long training, and then we had like a month after to complete like 25 practice sessions. And in those practice sessions, you could be the client or you could be the facilitator. So I teamed up with someone who lived kind of close to me, and we swapped a ton of sessions. And one of the things that I worked on in that space, knowing I had those hours to examine past lives, it was like, all right, what am I going to do? And for me, working on that detachment and understanding like what is mine to carry and what is mine not to carry in these sessions was a big part of that work. So I'll call out episode 6 of Past Lives in the Divine. It was my past life as a palm reader. One of my intentions going into this session was with that in mind. Like, how do I go into this work and not carry everything with me and not, you know, wonder if someone's doing okay and just have it eat me alive? Because it could. Like, that's my nature. I'm very empathic. I'm very empathetic. I'm highly sensitive. So I could, and I, like, to survive my childhood, every fucking thing needed to be my fault so I could fix it. And that doesn't work as an adult. And I don't deserve to carry that load. And me carrying that load is harming me. And when I'm harmed, I am not thriving and I can't show up in any role, including hypnotist, in a way that would serve me and everyone else who's involved in that session. So in that past life regression where I was the palm reader, it was so clear to me. And to be able to fully embody this knowing of this palm reader, of being like, you are paying me for these hours, for this session, for this service, for this reading, in the case of that past life, this palm reading. And that was the exchange. You are giving me money, and I am taking this moment to look at your palm and read your palm. That's it. If you love the reading, cool. If you hate the reading, okay, you know? And it's just as impactful as you paid me to make a blueberry pie. I'm going to make the blueberry pie. And if you eat it, none of my business. If you love it, cool. If you don't love it, I'm sorry you hate my blueberry pie. You already paid me for it. And you paid me for making the pie. You didn't pay me to make sure you like blueberry pie. You get what I'm saying? So after experiencing that past life regression and after experiencing, you know, 15, almost 20 years of trying to detach and trying to understand what's mine to carry in this client work and what is not, I was able to really see, like, oh, when you pay me for a past life regression, you're paying for me to create an environment and to facilitate this session. So if you come, sit down in that chair, and you completely relax, and you are observing what comes to mind, and you share it, no matter how weird or freaky it might be, even if you're seeing freaking dinosaurs, that is the agreement in my mind. You're paying me for this space, for my experience, for my intuition, for my connection to my intuition, for the energetic boundaries I set up, for the intentions that we do it. And within that space, I create that, but I also really hold you in your power. And I think that's not only benefiting you in that session, but it's benefiting you outside of that session, which is like the cherry on top of that blueberry pie. So if you pay for this session and I create this environment and I create, you know, I remain connected to my intuition, I keep my energetic channels clear, I show up in a space where I feel strong and in my power. And if you come to that space and don't engage with the details you get, think they're too freaky, won't engage with anything that's coming to your mind, that's your side of the bargain. Like, I can't control that, but I'm creating the space. And so if someone doesn't want to engage and they don't want to go anywhere, they won't, which is also why I only do sessions with people who sign up for the session. I don't do gift cards. You can't buy a session for your friend or your husband or your whoever. It is that person needs to, of their own volition, their own motivation, come in and sit there and be ready to engage. So if someone comes in and doesn't want to engage, that's not my fault. And I truly believe that because I believe that that's my job, and I believe that you're paying me for this 90 minutes or 2 hours if it goes a little long, then your side of the deal is to make that payment and to show up and put the energy in. And if you don't, there's nothing I can do. But I will tell you, everyone that I've worked with has gone somewhere and gotten something. Even if it was, we intended to see a past life, but they're in, sometimes a spirit guide or their higher self will kind of be like, no, we need to stay here and examine this one thing, or do this one healing. And that happens spontaneously, and that's totally fine. I'm trained, and I train people to move with that flow, to have the skills, to really be client-centered. And so my clients always go somewhere and get something because they want to be there. They paid the money. They filled out the forms. They did the prep work. They're in that chair and they're having the experience. And if someone is spinning in the black, if someone goes to their childhood instead of a past life, if someone has an encounter with their spirit guide and they don't want to experience a past life, they just want to stay with their spirit guide, it's all good. It's all for the client. And I believe that they're getting their highest and greatest good. And my job is to show up in my intuition and listen to what the client says in the intake before we go into trance and understand their intentions for the session, use my intuition to navigate the session, the experience they're having, the experience they want to have, and the information they want to have. And they're paying me for that time. You're not paying me for my advice. You're not paying me, and it is even a part of the the sign-off that you do before you buy a session with me, that I am not saying you're going to be healed. I am not saying you're going to be magically successful afterwards. I'm saying we're coming to this space to do this work, and that's what you're paying me for. And everybody seems to have the feedback that it's helping them long-term. I have that personal experience. I believe it is so key to my ability to continue to lead impactful sessions for clients. One of the reasons is the continuing education I do. And part of that continuing education is me being a client in that seat and having those experiences and staying connected to that client experience. And that makes me better. So you're paying for me being in that space, creating that space, and all the intention, education, training, effort, intention that I put into that space. You're not paying me for the stuff that comes after. I have no idea what comes after. But what I'm saying is everyone goes somewhere, everyone gets something. I'm connected to my intuition, which helps navigate the situation, which helps connect the dots between your intention and the experience that you are having. And the way I ask questions, the way I structure the questions is really so you know you have these answers. You are not coming to me for this. This is a regression, not a reading. I'm not telling you what's going on. You're telling me what's going on. I'm creating the environment so you can have the experience, but then you tell me what's going on and you tell me the wisdom that you're getting. And when you tell me that, you engage with those in details coming in through your intuition and you get more details because you're engaging with it. And when you share with me what you're getting, I'm able to populate a picture of what you're experiencing and try to meld the flow of the information and the flow of the hypnotic journey and the experience in a past life, if that's what we're having, to help you gain insights and wisdoms around the intentions that you set and the questions that you had. So I'm creating a container for you to get that information from yourself. And I think it's clear when you listen to podcast episodes, I think it's as clear as I can be. Up until this point, when I learn and know better, I always do better. I always update the forms, update the, you know, prep materials that people get when they do schedule a session. But just to know, like, that is what you're paying for. And so when someone asks me, are you ever afraid if someone's upset with the session? And it's like, I created the space. They went somewhere and got information. Like, I'm not doing a reading. I'm not giving advice. I'm creating that space for them to do it. Because if you listen to, I have a podcast episode, it's episode 100 of Past Lives and the Divine. It's called Readings versus Regressions. And it's just the difference between what is a past life reading, what is a past life regression. It's not that one is better from the other. I do believe that when we are having like an embodied experience in a past life regression, it is fertile ground for way more learning, way more change. But I do know, and I have personally gotten healing from a past life reading and hearing other people's past life regressions. And it's like a huge reason why I started this podcast. So, I feel like I've just been like on a soapbox on this episode. So I would love to hear what you think about it. Did I explain it in a way that evoked more questions? Go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, click on episodes, click on ask a question, submit it there. I would love to have this be an ongoing conversation. Okay, there it is. That is our episode for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to have more of these conversations, share more about your experiences in the hypnotic trance, exploring past lives, or something tangential or similar, I want you to know that there is probably someone in your life who would love to hear it. And one way we can do it is if we hear someone say something and it's like, hey, I thought of that person while I was listening to this episode. I wonder if they would be interested in this episode. Forward them the episode and let them know, like, hey, I listened to this. I would love to hear what you think about it. Or, oh my gosh, look at this episode that I found. I think you'd like it because of this conversation. But sharing these podcast episodes can be a really easy doorway into having more of these conversations in your personal life. And of course, as always, you can always email me and share your experiences. I get so many experiences in my inbox and I love to read them. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back to you all, but right now I'm able to and it feels really good. So just know that you can always do that too. And if you're wondering how to email me about your experience, if you go to pastlivesandthedivine.com, you can click on subscribe, get on my email list, and you can just hit reply to any email that gets sent to you. All right, everybody, as always, take anything that makes your load feel lighter and just leave the rest.